mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it.
So I'm conflicting
cool
this morning,
ever.
Gang.
She's too excited. Her man look like
because on one hand, I am pro communication. Love a little, how are you feeling? What do you need? How can I help? Let's have a conversation. But on the other hand, what the hell is this?
Looks like a post-it note.
What the hell is this? Hey, I leave work yesterday, 9:15. Walk out to my car in the parking structure here at 3rd Street Market. And it actually took me a bit to notice it. This little pink post-it note.
Was it on the windshield?
It was under the windshield wiper.
Oh, yeah. Well, that way it doesn't fly away.
Right, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Although you would hope that the sticky part of the post-it note would help a little bit.
As fast
that,
as you drive.
Yeah, sure. Gone. There's a pink post-it note on my car when I left work this morning. It says, in cursive writing, please be more aware of the space you give others on the left side. Thank you. Let me go over that one more time. Please be more aware of the space you give others on the left side. Thank you.
On one hand, says thank you.
And please.
Yes.
Please and thank you.
Yeah.
So it's a polite passive aggressive note. What am I supposed to do with this?
Nothing.
Keep in mind, you know, people on the left side when you park.
Nothing.
No.
Throw it away.
Hey, number one. Don't tell me what to do. That's my motto. Yeah. Don't.
But you try to tell people what to do all the time.
Well, that's the way it works. All right.
Try to tell Josh to shave
dive.
His,
hold on.
Shave his beard.
Okay, number one. Who has post-it notes in their car? Did she go into her office to get a post-it note? Because if she has them in her car, Jen, I guarantee it's not the first time
she's
done this.
You think she's doing this all the time?
You yes.
think she's leaving notes on people's
yes.
cars all the time?
Well, yes. in fairness, Chu, if she is a, I guess we're assuming this is a woman, because, I mean, I have the running list of things that Jen keeps in her Mary Poppins bag. If another woman has a Mary Poppins bag like Jen, of course she's going to have post-it notes in it.
Fair. We are showing it on the YouTube stream right now, the post-it note that showed up on my windshield yesterday after I left the office. I have a question. On the left side, is that my left side or their left side? Because theoretically, my left side would be their passenger side.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that that would be as problematic. So I assume she means my right side, their left side, the driver's side where they get into the car.
Well, what does the post-it note say?
On the left side.
Well, I would just say it would be the left side. It's not because we have diagonal parking.
Uh-huh.
We have diagonal parking in the parking garage. So it's not like it's a straight on, people are backing in, although some people do back into spots and it's really weird because it's diagonal parking. But like, I would assume it's just the left side because it's all one way and you're parking in one direction.
But I had a buddy who got the same kind of note, but it was funny. The person left the note that said, hey, next time could you leave me a can opener so I can get into my car? Now I would chuckle at that.
Good humor.
This, would you? This, don't tell me what to do, please. Please
I'm really struggling with this. Wait, I want to hear what Josh has to say.
Don't tell me what to do. Don't park like an ass. That's what they're trying to tell you.
But Josh, I don't think I parked like an ass. See,
they determined you did.
But they don't get to decide if I parked like an ass.
Well, were you inside of all the lines?
So yes, and here's what I would say, and I would tell you guys this. When I parked in the spot yesterday, and you guys know how it is, we're showing up at 6:30. There's not a lot of spots in the parking structure because a lot of people they live in the apartment building that is accompanied or adjacent to the studios. There's not a lot of spots. So occasionally you'll have to go around and around and around. So if you see a spot, you're like, you go through the thing. Should I take it or should I wait for something better? It was not an ideal spot. However, that's not on me. That's because whoever was parked there was parked tight on the left and on the right. So theoretically, you could argue that both of the people, the left of me and the right of me, they parked like a quote unquote ass. But I don't even think that. I was like, can I get in the spot? Yes, I can. Can I get out of my car? Yes, I can. And then I came inside and did my work. So my thing is this. I don't think I parked where that person couldn't get in their car. I think it was tight because the spot was tight. But my also thing is, it's a parking structure, man. It's the Hunger Games out there. You figure it out, right?
See, yeah.
Were you on the line?
Angie has
sounds like
down
sounds
there.
Like you might be on
was
the line.
Not on the line. 100% was within the
lines. Well, then
lines.
You're fine.
Yeah,
then
if you're in fine. The lines, then you're fine. If Angie you're on the line, then it's on you.
Angie has a rule down here, which is great, that I really didn't know, but I help her out in this rule where there's a lot of workers down here, just a lot of workers. You don't park in front of our house unless you're working on our house. And if they refuse to move their car, you know what goes on?
I have an idea.
The sprinklers. You know what hard water does? You know what hard water does when it's on a car? You get white spots everywhere. Fair, Gabe? Fair?
No.
Fair?
No, it's a
why?
Because it's a public street.
I don't care.
It's a public street. People used to do this in River West all the time when I lived there. Because where like, they thought that the spot in front of their house was for them. It's a public street, man. Well, especially when winter hits, like, and you can only park on one side. Like, you're just finding any spot. Like, just because it's in front of your house doesn't mean it's your spot. It's a public street. And if parking is legal on the street, like, you're the asshat, Chew. You can't
Gabe,
be just...
Gabe, you know what I can do whenever I want? You know what I can do whenever I want?
What's that?
Turn my sprinklers on.
Yeah, but if you're doing it to be a bleep
no,
hole...
No, I don't think that is.
Like, I mean, it's a public street. That other people also pay taxes for.
If you're working on the house next door, then park in front of the house next door.
What if there's two? What if they have? What if they need two vehicles? What if it's multiple people who are showing up?
Slow down.
Time out.
What does it matter if somebody's parked in front of your house? Do you need to park there?
Because it blocks the view.
Oh, okay, good. All right. Well,
blocks the view of the streets of the houses across the street.
Yes.
Why don't you guys pick up knitting or something? Something to
don't
more
you have,
with your
don't
time.
Don't you have a beautiful view, you know,
the
out
ocean?
The back? Isn't that the view that you want? The car's not blocking the view of the bay, man.
You know what's funny, though? And it's along this lines. So I went to the dentist yesterday, and they do it weird. It was great. It was a great trip. But they do the examination first of your teeth.
Okay.
And then they move you to another room to do the cleaning. You usually do it all in one. So I had about a half hour waiting for the guy to clean my teeth, and they had a bird feeder right in front. I had no idea birds make out. Have you ever seen it?
So you were being a perv and watching birds make out yesterday?
Yeah, it was the weirdest. Two woodpeckers.
I'm gonna put on the poll. Do birds make out?
Isn't that weird? Because it was not a mama and her baby. They were the exact same size. They were gizzarding one another.
You got to use that from now on, by the way. You got to use that. Adopt
hey,
that.
Hey, Angie, you want a gizzard?
Yeah, exactly. I guess it could be worse, guys. The post-it note was bad, but I guess it could be worse. Joshy filled us in this morning on somebody who got into a traffic dispute with somebody
boy.
Else and left a deuce on their hood of their car.
I mean, I'd argue it was a 1.5.
I watched the video.
I thought it was a 3.
How would you like to see that underwear? Because it was white.
Well, no, so Chewy.
I mean, that definitely requires a wipe.
Chewy,
am I right?
Well, I will answer that question once we tell the entire story because
okay,
she had
ahead.
Some quotes after she was arrested.
Well, you got to tell me. I don't know the quotes after she was arrested. So just to be clear. I got a post-it note on my car yesterday. Please be more aware of the space you give others on the left side. Yeah, whatever. But in Pennsylvania, there was a dispute in the street. Some woman got out of her car, walked over to the other car that she was feuding with, dropped trow, and dropped a deuce on the hood. Now, when I say deuce, it's not solid.
Correct.
If you mm-hmm. will. It was it's, very...
She painted the hood.
She did.
She painted the hood.
So tell me now, Gabe, what is the update on this?
Well, she was arrested. She was found and arrested.
What's the charge?
I mean, it's got to be disorderly conduct.
You could decent exposure.
You could probably do something along the lines of, too, like, using bodily fluids in that way is illegal as well.
Yeah, you can't even spit on someone else, no. Guys, like, let alone.
disorderly conduct, criminal mischief, harassment, and depositing waste on the highway.
Okay, there we go.
Is the list of...
That seems like a good one.
Depositing waste on the highway.
So Christina Marie Solimento is the one who was arrested for this. They were just calling her before she was arrested the Delco pooper because this incident happened in Delco. The report goes that there was some honking. Driver in the other vehicle began mocking her in the rearview mirror. She became frustrated with the other driver and went out to confront this person, then was walking back to her car, and the driver of the silver sedan called her an insulting name, which made her angry. Solimento said, quote, "I wanted to punch her in the face, but I pooped on her car instead and went home."
Fair.
She added, "It was a clean poop. I didn't even have to wipe."
Bull,
there was
you know
nothing
what.
Clean about that poop,
nothing.
You guys. I Joshy sent the video. I watched the video. I wish I hadn't watched the video. It was.
Now, the video is one thing of the action happening. They also got a classic perp walk after she was arrested and walking to the cop car. She is all smiles. She is having the time of her life. And as she's getting into the car with her hands behind her back, she decides to look at the camera crews and say, "I have a condition," which I think was trying to explain the painting that she did on the
So I was pretty fired up about the pink post-it note on my car until Joshy sent us that video. And I thought, you know what, Jen?
You walked off easy.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, this was easy.
If I had come out of the studio yesterday and somebody had deuced on my Tahoe, that would have been a bad day, guys. That would have been a real bad day. How do we feel about the old post-it note, though? I want Joshy to put that on the poll. Are we pro post-it note? Because I got Chef Ed here weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. He says, people who leave notes usually have underlying issues. We don't need Patty post-it note telling us what to do.
There is some degree, and if I have no reason but to believe you, it is a parking garage. And there are many times someone's really close to me, and it's just like, yeah, I get it. It is what it is. And what happens, in especially these angled spots in ours, is one person parks wrong, then everybody has to try and compensate at some degree.
When you're driving, there are ones that are on the right-hand side that feel like they are for compact cars only.
Right.
Like, the just the width of the spots is just so tight.
Given the situation of, being understanding of it, it seems probably like somebody who probably just had it in their bag and thought, I'm going to write this quick because I'm annoyed. But it is, there are certain situations that notes are worthy. You see people park and take up multiple spots.
Sure,
and it's
sure. Like, yes, I agree.
This is just intentional and you're just being a jerk.
Correct. You pull into a parking lot and a car is clearly crisscrossing lines, taking up two spots because they think they're the most important person. That's not what this is. This is a parking structure. It's the Hunger Games, man. Everybody's just doing their best. We have talked amongst us about people who park big vehicles on the end. And we're like, why would you do that? Well, you do it because there's no other spots, man. And you got to get into your thing. And we are on a time crunch as well. So when I roll in, if I do a couple of loops and there's no other spots, I'm taking whatever's available, right? I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm not going to Goldilocks my way through the thing. That one's too tight. That one's too close. That one's too far. Like, you make do with what you got.
And it's not on the driver's side, right, Jen?
No.
Or was it?
Seems like it was her driver's side that was the issue.
It was her driver? Okay.
Yeah.
So she was to the right of you?
Yes.
Jen?
Yes. I think, I assume. I don't know. I assume. Again, I will tell you this. Even though when I looked at the spot, I was like, oh, that's tight. That's going to be tight. I was like, but I can get in there. I got in there, and then I still had no issue getting out of the car, right? I was like, okay, well.
It's because the person on the other side had the issue getting in the car.
I have had situations in this lot where in this garage, where I've had to climb through my passenger side because the left side was so close, there just wasn't a prayer of me getting in the car. So I just, over the center console, we're just going to have to do it that way. Because some people will leave the smallest amount of space on their side, and they're like clearly over the line. That, but I didn't leave a note or defecate on anyone's hood. I just got in my car and drove home and was mad for 5 minutes.
Well, but again, like the only way to defecate on, I mean, is if you are the Delco pooper and you have that condition. I'm guessing that's more satisfying than just leaving a clean one.
But
you know,
to me, it sounds a little. Doesn't it sound a little residence arrogance? Like, I live here. You only work here.
I don't think you said residence arrogance. You just tried to pretend that the street in front of your house is part of your property.
Well, I think it is.
It's not.
Nope.
Definitely not.
Nope.
Huh?
The irony. Daniel says, this is why I don't park in parking structures. People suck at driving and I don't need my truck hit. There is that as well.
Yeah, I mean, this lot here, you can fit trucks in it, but it's made for cars. It's not, as we said, some of those turns are.
Well, even, I mean, you don't even have to have a big car on the end of one of those. Oh. Like, you just have a regular sized car that someone tries to jam in there. Like, okay, hopefully this hole is big enough that I can squeeze the car through.
Well, I have to park.
Continue driving.
I have to park with my truck so far away because my antenna hits the little concrete girders.
Oh,
and
sure.
It's so annoying. So I just park closest to the exit and I'm gone.
John says, if someone carries Post-it notes in their car or purse, they are looking to be a Karen.
Yes.
See, I think this is somebody who works here and has in their, like my backpack has all my work stuff in it. I don't have any Post-it notes, but there could be an occasion where I had a scrap piece of paper.
No, because Josh, why would she be leaving between 7 and 9 o'clock?
Well,
she's
people
a resident.
I think it's somebody who is going to work, lives in the building, is going to work.
Well, but even if they're going to work, I mean, again,
they might bring their work bag, is what you're saying. And in their work bag, they got pink Post-its. Please be more aware of the space you give others on the left side. Thank you, exclamation point. Yeah, that is
thank
what
you.
I found.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a thank you. There's
the
a please.
Exclamation point I don't like. That detracts from the thank you. She didn't have to put that in there.
See, this is somebody who just has never sent an email once in their life.
Yeah, no.
If you're not closing out an email with thank you, thanks, and an exclamation point.
Smiley face.
Some sort of punctuation like that, you are going to be looked at sideways.
Gabe,
and it's actually
Gabe.
A hostile act that now war can be declared within the office.
Exclamation point is the most arrogant. What are they called?
Punctuation?
Punctuation there is. Am I right?
See, again, Chu, this is just where you don't send enough emails to know you need that exclamation point
at least to
diffuse situations.
It doesn't have to necessarily be at the end, but there needs to be one somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And the strategy involved in where the exclamation point goes.
Do I have too many? Do I not have enough?
Absolutely. Whole nother thing. It's a whole nother thing.
What's the most hostile? Is it the question mark? Because sometimes people can put a question mark in a spot that is really trying to hammer home a point.
Honestly, thanks, period, is pretty hostile.
How about nothing? Just leave
pretty
nothing.
Hostile.
No, the most hostile phrase included in a email is, per my last email, where you're basically saying, if you just scroll a little bit through this thread, you'll find the answers you're seeking.
I told you this already.
I have already shared this information. Now you're just being lazy because you want me to reiterate it to you. Per my last email. We got to take a break. Get to Jason Wilde. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. We want Jason to weigh in on a mystery that we have at 12:65. Maybe Jason can solve the mystery at 12:65. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy just getting going.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
As much as I would like to get Jason Wilde's insight, thoughts, opinions on the Delco pooper, which BTW, Joshy, you were right. Delco dumper was right there. Delco deucer was right there. We love an alliteration. The Delco pooper, it's fine. I want to ask him about something more close to home, more relevant. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. Except for this little note that I got left on my car. But we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, I heard about
it. I want to start with this. Matt LaFleur was on Bussin' with the Boys, the podcast. I know sports fans are familiar with it. And this was a conversation that they had. Take a listen.
What have been a couple of your hardest moments or conversations with somebody? Has any conversation went sideways? You don't have to say names, but is there an example?
Sideways?
Yeah, where a conversation,
There's been a few.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude standing up, getting in your face a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I've had a player a couple years back. It was just him and I. And I mean, we're in this cinder block room, and I thought he was going to whip my ass, and there was nobody around. So I was just like, oh, well, here it goes, guys. This is the end.
This is it.
This is it.
It's like, hey,
you try to de-escalate the situation, but sometimes there's no getting through. And it was one of those situations. But I'm still here today, so I live to tell about it.
Still pretty. Did he put his hands on you? Or
no,
just get up in your face?
No, it was, I thought it might go down, but it didn't.
Very interesting. So, Jason, we all have theories about what player we think it could have been. Do you have any idea who it might have been that got in Matt LaFleur's face?
I have no idea. I have guesses, but I have no idea. I've never heard that story. I clearly need to improve my interview technique because we had a half hour with Matt on stage at the Tundra Trio, and I clearly need to ask questions like that that'll lead to fascinating responses. I suck. I'm taking Za'Darius Smith.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's what we had on our chart too.
But like Za'Darius also kind of like, I mean, the end was pretty obvious. Like he didn't want to be here. The Packers didn't want him here. Like he was already mad about not being voted a captain. Mm-hmm. Like I understand, like the dude is, you know, a little temperamental, but I personally like Devondre Campbell.
He'd be next on my list.
Okay,
no doubt about it.
Okay,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jason, let me ask you if you remember back to, I think it was 96 or 97 when you guys were allowed in the Hudson Center. Do you remember the fight between Holmgren and the D lineman we got from Kansas City that wound up in Denver, and I think he played against us in the Super Bowl.
Mm. Yeah, who?
Vaughn
Booker? No, was Vaughn Booker him? Vaughn Booker was in Cincinnati, and he did almost get in. He did get into a fight in the locker room, like I had to be pulled to safety by. Was it Santana that somebody grabbed me and pulled me? Because I, of course, being an imbecile, was standing watching this
close to the
and like somebody was like, I can't remember who the player was that pulled me out of the way, but
it was weird because the crux of it was the training staff told him he could practice. He said he wasn't practicing, so he walked into the Hudson Center in just sweats, and him and Holmgren just started going at. I thought it was going to turn into a fight. He threw him out of the building and they cut him the next day. I can't think of that guy's name though. And he was a good player when he went to Denver.
I don't remember that. I also remember Kabir Baja Biamila threatening to tell a player's wife that he was cheating on her. And the player informing him that if you blank and do that, I'll gouge your blank and eyes out. We're standing in the locker room. Listen. Yeah. And I thought that was going to go down. I'm coming around on Devondre Campbell. You might be right. Maybe I should put him first. I'm trying to think of other people though that I could envision getting that angry and being bold enough to get in the coach's face. I'm going to have to think about this some more.
Do you know the Josh Sitton exit, why that went down?
I don't know the details that it sounds like you're ready to give me.
No, I can't tell this.
Maybe
since
Jason
when
Cole.
Do you ever say,
not good.
Since when do you ever say, I can't tell this, and then don't proceeded.
When it's really bad.
Yeah, when it's really bad. Like,
this is when we got to run.
Yeah, I fully support Chewy in this. So maybe you can call him later, Jason. The number you're not confident is Chewy's and has some questions.
Just a little bit of further context for the Matt LaFleur thing. The Bussin' with the Boys podcast, when they put that clip out there, guys, it said Matt LaFleur almost got his ass kicked after cutting a player. For context.
Mm-hmm.
So just as we continue to like put together our list, apparently that was the impetus for the conflict.
And I guess this probably isn't that important to that story, but why is he the one cutting guys if it's Gutekunst who is responsible for the roster?
Right. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, that doesn't. That
can you imagine LaFleur's like, I'm not cutting his ass, you cut his ass.
Especially if you know it could get hostile.
Jason,
have Russ Ball do it. Yeah. Tell Russ Ball to do it.
Tell him it's a money thing. Send Russ.
Jason, who's better, Quay Walker or Devontae Wyatt?
They're both kind of in the same spot, right? Like
they are.
Okay. I feel like Devontae Wyatt has had some flashes of being a good pass rusher, but I don't know how great he is. His fifth year option is more in line with where he is compared to other defensive linemen, as compared to Quay Walker with where he is compared to other off the ball linebackers, because the NFL chooses to lump those 3-4 edge rushers in with the linebackers.
And the only reason I say it, Jason, is because he had some anger issues, right, as a rookie.
Quay did, yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, he had some anger issues. So players look at it like, I'm better than him, and you gave him the fifth-year option. I'm just wondering if this thing could go south.
And then Matt LaFleur will find himself in a cinder block room. Look, I am trying to take their party line at face value. Again, I think it's fair to say, though, that nothing precludes you from giving him the fifth-year option and then signing him to an extension to replace the fifth-year option. There are other teams that are doing that with players. So, I understand that that's kind of been the party line of, well, we're not giving him the fifth-year option, but we want to sign him long-term. Goody has said that multiple times. But there's at least some doubt somewhere in there, because otherwise you just give him the fifth-year option and then you replace it and you guarantee whatever it is.
Well, that's what I was about to say, Jason. That's what it says to me, is they don't want to guarantee, because the only way you're getting an extension after you give the fifth-year option is to guarantee more money than what that fifth-year option is, because it's fully guaranteed.
Right, but if you sign let's say they sign him to a four-year extension, are you telling me that he, whatever shortcomings he has, he's not worth like 16 or 17 guaranteed? Like, I don't think that's an outlandish number. No. The problem is you don't want to give it to him all in 1 year.
Well, but it seems like to me that they don't even want to guarantee that. Because why wouldn't you do the way that you're just saying? Yeah.
Right. And what I'm saying is, doesn't that lend some skepticism to the narrative of, no, we really want to keep him. We want to keep him long term. Now, look, I am a proclaimed Quay Walker believer. Okay. Now, has his self-loathing maybe influenced that, and the fact that he and I had a very long conversation in the locker room where I felt like I was in like older brother mode talking to him about, look, you can be hard on yourself, but you got to give yourself some grace when you have games where you play well. You it's okay to enjoy that. Yes, I like him. I feel like he is a good-hearted kid who is super talented, but also has been inconsistent because his instincts aren't great, and he's still growing into whatever player he might become. But this idea that we really like him, it's another issue of what are you saying versus what are you doing? And you can say how much you like him, but there was nothing stopping them from giving him the fifth year option and then him not getting to the fifth year because they get a deal done with him first. So And if there weren't other teams, like I even went back into the rules just because I was like, wait a minute, what? They can't give them the fifth-year option and then replace it with an extension? No, there was no rule change. You can still do that. So I think Jeff Hafley really likes him. I don't know if there are others that don't or what the reasoning is, but you know, maybe they don't think that Devontae Wyatt merits a long-term deal. But again, what Goody's words have been were that they want to keep both of them around for 2026 and beyond.
But
so we'll see if that happens.
At what point can we not take Goody's words at face value?
Yeah, again, I know that people think that I hate Goody because he lied to me in the past. I don't know. I'll just say this. Ron Wolf used to scare the crap out of me when I had to call him in his office, which I did almost on a daily basis. So that's how things have changed with the general manager. And I was always nervous that the premise of my question was going to be flawed. And then I'd be like, trying to talk to him. But he never lied. Like, he did not lie. And so I don't know. I don't know what to believe. But we'll see if they put their money where their mouth is and if Quay gets a deal before he goes into this coming season.
Jason, good stuff. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Just before we let you go, have you ever put a note on someone's car when they park too close to you? Because that's what I got yesterday. I got a please be more aware of the space you give others on the left side note. A little pink post-it note.
Yeah. Well, it's odd because I wrote that exact note. What kind of vehicle do you drive?
I got a fat-ass Tahoe.
I was in my little tiny Nissan Sentra. I could barely get out of my vehicle. Thanks a lot, you big jerk.
Pink post-it note. I'm going to put it on the car next to me in the lot. I could come up with a whole song on this. What do you guys think?
That's pretty good, actually. Chapalata. Yeah. Good work.
All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Craig Carmison coming up at the top of the hour. Don't forget, we've got Week in Re-Chew today as well. Stick around.
Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. We offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. So what does that mean? Well, that means at Fifth Third, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions. Again, they've been around for 167 years and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions, again, here in Milwaukee for the last 15, and build strong community connections. Their team has done a tremendous job of that over at Fifth Third Bank. Love the folks over at Fifth Third Bank here in Milwaukee. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Bubbles. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
We'll make my mama proud. It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl. I know she's gonna scream. Go!
Yeah, just take the lyrics and change it to the pink post-it girl, because that's me this morning. The pink post-it girl. I know, yeah. The sticky's on the bottom.
That's weird.
Well, I think she just wrote it upside down, don't you think?
Yeah, but like, why would you write a post-it like that?
She was in a hurry. She was angry.
No, that person already, like, you're writing post-its like that, you can't be trusted.
How often do you guys write?
Every single day.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe not on weekends.
You take the weekends off from writing, do you?
Yeah.
Every day, because I have to like sign my kids' stuff, right? I'm signing like assignment notebooks. Okay. I'm signing permission slips. I'm helping, you know, the girls with their homework. That's all writing still. ChatGPT your way through that yet.
I probably write once every 2 weeks, maybe. I mean, why would you write?
I don't know. Don't you want to be pen pals while you're down there with the Blammer? Send a couple of notes back up to Wisconsin telling the Blammer how much you miss him.
That's texting.
I take notes for work related stuff.
Well,
I have a job.
That was unnecessary. I mean, Gabe, how often do you write?
I would say most days that I have
golf
work stuff.
Golf scorecards, a lot of
yeah, oh yeah, golf scorecards, yeah, yeah. Every once in a while, three with a circle on
yeah,
it.
I don't do anything that requires writing because I don't take a grocery list.
This is kind of fascinating, actually. Yeah. Now that he said it out loud, I'm not doing a lot of writing. I'm doing some every day, something,
yeah.
But I'm not doing a lot.
I mean, my typing is 10 to 1.
Oh, at least. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yesterday, Chu, when I had the top 8 list, like I wrote that down, you know, because I was grabbing the information off of a website and I wanted to make sure I had it organized for the list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, but again, that's not much, but it's still writing.
I'm fascinated by this. I do oftentimes jot down notes when Jason is telling us stuff, right? Just so that we can reference it later in the show, or if it's something I didn't know, I want to remember it, I will write it down. But to your point, Chu, not a lot,
no.
Right? Like, Josh is going to work on a poll, but I am a little bit fascinated about this idea of how much are you actually writing?
The only reason I say that, Jen, is because I went to a new dentist yesterday and I had to fill out new forms and stuff. And I realized that my handwriting is god awful because I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I got a feeling it wasn't great when you were doing it on a regular basis, too.
All right, that's enough out of you, too.
Well, okay. I'm not saying I got great handwriting, but also I don't think my handwriting is going to like...
Well, they don't even teach the kids cursive anymore, right?
That's true. And Dario, my husband Dario, always says, how do you sign something? If you don't know how to do cursive, even the most basic, your name, how do you sign anything? Which Chewy
like
probably...
Like the lady signed the car in Pennsylvania.
That's a different type of signature.
To be fair...
Unique to you, though.
The universal accepted way to sign a signature is sort of just the lines at this point. There's really no...
Scribble, scribble?
Yeah, I mean... We don't really have to do it anymore with signing the little digital thing that they would put on receipts and stuff. Like, those don't matter. You could draw whatever you want.
But, yeah, like, sure. Gabe and his wife bought a house recently. I assume they signed all those mortgage papers over and over and over.
But that's about it, because I think of there was something that I had to sign digitally recently.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, pick whatever, you know, signature you want, and you put that, and then you sign digitally.
I digitally signed a lease just a couple weeks ago. I didn't once. I used it on my phone. I didn't even need a computer for it.
Remember when we used to forge our parents' signatures?
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly.
Joshy,
the statute of limitations has expired.
I don't know if it has.
They have an idea that some stuff got forged.
I'm pretty sure my parents at one point found my brother's practice sheet.
Yes,
that
was
crucial.
The
practice sheet. You know, you had to destroy the practice sheet, guys. You know where you're trying to get the C just right and the L perfect. Like, throw that stuff away.
We had a kid who had signed for everyone who was particularly talented. He was artistically gifted more than the rest of us. So if you needed something signed, you just showed him a signature and...
I certainly hope he was collecting.
It was mostly like cookies and stuff from the...
I mean, you're in high school. It's the barter system, right? Yeah. Whatever you happen to have extras of, that's
maybe
what
I'll
you're
buy him a Gatorade.
Is that a pudding snack pack over there? Take that.
I mean, I've done Brett's a few times.
What?
This is one of those things where
people just think.
Let's not admit to you.
Hey, you think you could get Brett to sign my Sports Illustrated? Don't even know the... I'm like, yeah, sure. Give it to me.
He's being put on timeout here.
Turned off the mic.
We can't be admitting to forgery when some of this stuff is, I'm sure, going to charity, too. Oh,
you know what he's doing? First of all, he doesn't know that his mic has been turned off. He's still talking over there.
Hold on.
I see him practicing. He pulled out a piece of paper. He's going to show us how he forged the signature.
There's not a statute of limitations
and then
on this
four,
one. Like, this
is
actual is
just,
bad.
Four, how does he do? It's just like that. His four is very lazy. Hey, if you get permission to sign for someone, you can do it.
I don't think
so. Yeah, someone does it for me all the time, and I'm not mentioning any names. It's look, true.
Joshy tried to save you so many times. He threw up the stop sign. He stood in front of the car, got ran over. Like,
hey, I'm all about transparency.
You pooped on my hood.
Proverbially. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We were going to get to Halliburton's father being banned from basketball, but we will have to wait until after the break to get to that. Before we do, guys, I want to tell you about my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. Finding money in your house can be a lot easier than you think because they have a simple approach to turning your home value into cash with their loyalty-serviced home equity loans. And since Great Midwest Bank takes the time to get to know you, your loan and line of credit can be a fast, easy way to pay for whatever it is that you want. Do you want a boat? Do you need new appliances? Maybe you're thinking about building a pool, or maybe you need a new furnace. Whatever it is you need cash for, it's just a few clicks away at Great Midwest Bank. You can experience your state of banquility with my friends over at Great Midwest Bank.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we're just trying too hard, when really it's closer than.
Coming up at the top of the hour, before we get to him, you guys saw the latest. Tyrese Halliburton's father will not be attending any basketball games for the foreseeable future. I assume NBA games, because you guys have told me he's an official. He's a referee for local games. So while there aren't any of those going on right now, I assume that that has not been taken away from him. But he cannot go to the basketball games, at least for this playoff stretch. Gabe, your thoughts?
This seems about right to me. I don't think that the Pacers are going to go on and beat the Cavs, so, you know, it's just probably going to last through the rest of the postseason. The offseason is going to come, everyone's going to forget about it and calm down, and he'll be allowed at, you know, the home opener for the Pacers next year. Which, I thought, yeah, just send him down for the series, let him know he can't be, he's a fan at the end of the day, he can't be wandering out onto the floor after a game. Again, unless you're going to go celebrate with your son, that's a completely different thing. Run into, you know, run and give your son a big hug after making the game-winning bucket to close out a series. You can't just wander on the floor when you're a fan and do what he did.
Why doesn't the NBA make this a point of emphasis? Because I remember it like it was yesterday for the NFC Championship game, and the Packers hadn't been there in years, and they said. And they brought in the horses and things like that. And they said, any fan coming onto the field, I can't remember if they said, will be arrested or you will lose privileges to attend games in Lambeau. Why don't they do that? Why don't they say, you know, before the end of a game or a big game, any fan caught, you know, you'll be arrested. How about that? Trespassing. Is that too far?
Again, I don't, because it hasn't really been an issue in the NBA outside the Malice at the Palace. And this doesn't even compare to that, right? Like, that was physical violence and guys going into the stands and all that sort of thing. They've done a pretty good job with it since. Like, I can't think of any really major incident between a player and a fan since then. Maybe there have been one or two, but they haven't really had to worry about it, Chew. Like, fans have been pretty good about not wandering out onto the floor after games.
But, I mean, Gabe, they're ejecting fans for using potty mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if a player goes, hey, I mean, that person said this, and, yeah, gets a person ejected.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it just seems like a no-brainer.
Well, Abe, you mentioned the Malice at the Palace. Like, this thing didn't escalate to that because Giannis kept his cool.
Correct.
Like, Giannis, while he got his point across, and, you know, I know that there are some arguments that say he shouldn't have put his hands on some, you know, I think he put his arm, he had his hand on the neck of one of the players when he was holding him from behind. They said that he grabbed John Halliburton's hands. That would be the only thing that I would say to redo it. Maybe you don't put your hands on somebody. But beyond that, Giannis kept his cool. If Giannis loses his cool, this thing, or any of the players really lose their cool. This
like
thing,
Draymond Green. What if it was Draymond Green?
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
It would have been a powder keg, and it's something that everybody's still talking about today. And Charles Barkley, I can't remember what show he was on, if he was with Dan Patrick or whoever, said, yeah, this is why I love Giannis, and he's one of my favorite players, because if that was me, I'd have decked the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Charles famously had a temper, threw a window here in Milwaukee. You know, did some things.
What was that?
Wait, you're not familiar with that story?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah,
Charles Barkley threw someone through a window?
Yeah, here in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pane glass window.
Yep. Filming a movie?
No, uh-uh.
No.
No, just hanging out at the bar.
Wow. We got to find that guy. Have him on the show. We got to take a break. Craig Karmazin is coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And then we have Week in Rechew. Stick around.